Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Amen, 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 amen. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 24, verse 7. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 24, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Hey Jake, can you give me a little monitor right there? Turn me up a little bit. I don't know why I can't hear myself this morning. Maybe my ears are plugged up or something. But there you go. Because otherwise I scream. I think I can't hear. I think y'all can't hear me. So I just keep getting louder. And then when I get home, I can't talk, and I'm wondering why. Because I don't hear myself. So you know, I do like that. My wife, I'm always the guy on the phone driving down the road. My wife punches me and says, I'm like, really? I thought I was just talking, you know. If I couldn't hear, I'd just talk louder. So anyway, Psalms 24, verse 7. Now I got a little feedback. Now I got a little barrel echo back behind me. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You know, I preached this last week, and I don't want to review a whole bunch. You can go listen to it. We've got too many avenues that you can go to any of the podcasts or go listen to the website and revisit that message. But, you know, basically last week we were talking about how that in our lives, the Bible says that God wants to deliver you from fear. When he talks about fear, fear does mean terror, but the word fear also comes from a root word that means you're born. So in other words, sometimes in life we get fearful places in our lives, down inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, our emotions, we get fearful, and we get a barn full. Everybody say a barn full. I'm talking about a barn full of fearful thoughts, a barn full of fearful things, a barn full of, you know, I know you like me, we're pretty smart people. If you stick your hand down a hole and you get bit, you usually don't do it again, right? And, you know, I always laugh. David over here has to keep me straight with electricity because I've been bit with electricity and I don't like electricity. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to do anything about a plug. And so one time he told me, he said, well, Robert, what do you do to check electricity, see if it's hot? And I said, man, it's real simple. I got a screwdriver. It's got about that long. I just stick it in the box if it arcs. Well, man, that sucker's hot. Don't touch it. And he said, good gosh. He said, let me get you a meter, you know, show you how to use this thing so you'll quit doing something like that. That's not right. And so he got me this meter. But first thing I noticed was, man, them things weren't near as long. Those little, you know, electrodes, whatever you call them, weren't near as long as I wanted them to be. And so I got up by this box, and I was checking to see if it was hot. Well, it was a metal box, and I didn't realize I had one of the points on leaning up against the metal box. And so I got up there real close, and I think, you know, starting, and I said, dadgummit, I threw that thing away and told him, I said, man, up now on, man. Stick a screwdriver in. If it blows a breaker, it's on. If it doesn't, then I'll mess with it. But I've been bit before, and so I got a memory inside of me that says, don't even get close to it, right? And so sometimes when I'm, you know, if I'm having to deal with something like we're doing over here at the church and doing some remodeling, man, I mean, I fear this stuff. I shouldn't, but if I even think, I mean, I can be messing with it and just my knuckle pops and I think that something bit me, you know, I'm out of there, right? Well, the point is that I'm trying to say to you, so we get these things happen to us in life. You come into a bad time with a person, you have a bad experience, you have a, you know, whatever it be, then we settle into our minds that this is the, you know, that's, it's a terrible experience. It's, you know, that's like if you've been to a doctor and had a bad experience, then all doctors are bad. Well, all doctors aren't bad. You got a bad experience with a preacher. All preachers aren't bad. Y'all with me? Had a bad experience with the church. Well, don't label all churches bad. If you had a bad experience with a man or with a woman, that doesn't mean all men are terrible, all women are terrible, right? But what happens to us is we get these into our lives, and what happens is we get a barn full of fears, all right? And they're in there. Well, then those fears in life start to dictate in us what we, how we act and what we're doing. And so really what we're doing in life is operating by fear, not by faith. So that is exactly opposite and opposed to what the Bible says. The Bible says we're supposed to operate by faith, believe in God that He's with us and leading us and guiding us. And there's instructions from the Holy Spirit to tell us how to raise our children, to, you know, what school we should be going to, what we should be doing, what doctor to go to. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, you should be operating in faith, not in fear. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have caution, that we don't use wisdom, right? But what I'm saying is it's all in the approach. If your approach is a fearful approach, you're already in the wrong place. If you're going to meet somebody for the very first time and do a deal with them or anything like that, and you're already figured that they're going to get to you somehow, you're already in the wrong state of mind going into the whole situation. You're already full of doubt and fear, and that's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be in a place of faith. You're supposed to be going to this and say, wait a minute, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. God is with me. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in this world. I'm going forth and I declare, Lord, you're going to lead me and guide me. You're going to show me wisdom. And if this person is a snake, then, you know, I'll see his forked tongue. It's a completely different way of living. The world operates in fear. What are we doing today in America today? We don't want to label anybody or do anything or say this or say this about anybody. We all try to act like everybody looks the same. Because you're scared to say anything. Because then you're a racist or a this or a that or whatever. You get labeled. And the bottom line is, we all are different. It doesn't offend me. Somebody tell me I'm a redneck. You know, doesn't offend me. Tell me you're just an old country boy. Doesn't bother me a bit. We all are different. We're not the same. So it makes this country great. But the thing is, if you go to operating in fear, you're always going to have failure. Log that into your memory banks. Fear is going to produce failure. Faith always produces victory. All right? Okay, so what I was saying to you is you got to throw open the barn doors and you got to ask the King of Glory to come in. And you got to understand that word glory, it means glory. It means honor, glorious, abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, reverence, glory, glory. That's what it means. All right? And so we got to come to the place in life, folks, that we don't fear God's presence. We want God's presence in our life. We got to be the kind of people that want to every morning wake up and throw open the barn doors of our life and saying, man, I want the King of Glory in my life today. I want you with me today, Lord. I want you leading me and guiding me and directing me. I want the King of Glory in me to help me through this day. That's got to be our approach every morning. And so I want you to go now to the scripture of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. The Apostle John is speaking here, and he says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I kind of got over my head when I was studying on this message and looking at it, because I got into a whole bunch of the science behind light, and I got to listen to all these scientists talking about what light is and all this kind of stuff, and I was trying to grab hold of what they were talking about, and I mean, there's some deep stuff out there. But you know, it comes to the place, if you really understand it, if we this morning right here, you know, we didn't have If I could black this building out and turn off the lights and you couldn't see anything, you would know you were in the building. You would know, kind of remember who was around you and where you're sitting. But if it was totally and completely black in here, dark, you couldn't see anything, right? You would know there's things around you. You'd know there's people. You know that, you know, maybe you had your sense of direction. You know this is where the front of the stage was or whatever. But if there's absolutely no light, you can't see anything, right? And the objects are still here. The chairs are still here. The pulpit's still here. Everything's still here. The people are still here. They're all still here, but you can't see them because there's no light. Let me just put this real simply, the way I understand it. There's no light to reflect off of the object back into your eye so your brain can comprehend it and you can see that there is an object there. You follow me? Just because the lights go out and it's dark does not mean that the objects that are in here go away. When you got a barn full of fear, you have objects that are there that you may not be seeing them because there's no light cast upon them. You didn't realize you had a box of doubt sitting over in the corner. Now, I mean, I got to tell y'all something. This is embarrassing on one side, humorous, but embarrassing. You know, as I'm getting older, and I'm not that old, but man, I can't do anything without a pair of glasses anymore. And I am shocked at when I put a pair of glasses on and look up into the mirror to shave at where I have hair growing. And how long it has gotten, and I never saw it was on there. And I tell my wife, why didn't you tell me? She said, well, I can't see it. See, there's no light casting. Now, listen to me. All of y'all know that what I'm fighting. Isn't it interesting how you can get a flashlight and or get a better light, and then you can see better? See, you may have partial light in your barn, but man, it doesn't let you see the cobweb in the corner. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you ever been in your house, done spring cleaning, think that everything in your house is clean, and you sat down and you looked up and you looked at the fan blades? And you were like, oh my gosh, how was there that much dirt on the fan blade? Right? I don't know why that, I guess it's, you never see it. My point is in our lives, so many times we're living our lives and we're wondering why we're encumbered by this or that or why we're this frustrates you or that frustrates you or why you're irritated about this or irritated about that and you don't know that there's been no light cast into your barn on one side and there's an old box sitting there of some situation that happened and took place 20 years ago and is sitting over there in the corner and it's a box full of fear and that's what's caused you to act and react the way that you are and it's that old box sitting over there but you've not put any light on it. When you ask the King of Glory to come in to your barn, you throw open the doors of your heart and say, I want the King of Glory to come in and live. Something you're going to have to deal with is when he shows up, the lights are turned on, and you see what's going on. Some people don't want it, because then you're like, oh my gosh, I've got a box of fear over here. I've got a box of this. I got a box of jealousy. I got a box of old painful hurts. I've got a box of, oh gosh, I didn't think they were there. Yeah, you didn't think they were there because there was no light on the subject and you just didn't see it. But it's there. Everybody say it's there. Everybody say, I got one somewhere. Goodness, this is a joyful message this morning. This will make you want to jump up and run around the church. We've been doing the remodel. Hopefully we'll be through at the end of the week. But we're doing the remodel over there. And I was working yesterday, and I was putting some trim on, and I got to just thinking, I said, man, how many years has this kitchen been here? And so I got to thinking, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm just trying to figure out when. I said, it was already built. I started pastoring in 93, so, you know, it was right before that the building was built, and I'm thinking, so it's got to have been, you know, 89, 90 or something it was built. I was just thinking, 1990. I said, well, that's not that old. You with me? How many of y'all are with me? You're losing time. Track of time. I said, 1990, that's not that old. And then I was like, okay, well, wait a minute. 1990 to 2015. Dude's 25 years old. And I can guarantee you, in those cabinets that were there, we have pulled out stuff that was put in there in 1990. Because you can look at the dishes and stuff in there and say, look how dated they are. They don't make that stuff anymore. But in those cabinets, because we didn't see it, something got put in there. Where does this go? We don't know. Chunk it. Put it in there. Close the door. And it didn't get cleaned out. It wasn't a regular cleaning. So there's stuff there for 25 years sitting in there that at one time was new, but now it's old. Y'all with me? That there was something that happened in your life 25 years ago that you stuck under the cabinet and put back because at the time it was a painful thing or a hurtful thing or you didn't want to think about it anymore or whatever like that. You just shoved it back in the corner and then, you know, you've just been building and all around, just adding more. And it got covered up and there's been no light shined on it. When the King of Glory comes into your life, when you throw up the door and say, I want the King of Glory to come into my life. Lord, I don't know why I'm so tired. And then he shines some light over in the corner and he's like, you're carrying all these boxes. You are a pack mule of fear and doubt, unbelief. And you're like, well, Lord, I was thought everything was pretty good. It was in the one room you've been in. Because that's what we do. We live in one room. And we get it organized. And that's the room we invite people over to. And the other doors are closed. I hear snickering going on. Am I preaching good? I mean, I'm telling you the truth, aren't you? It's we got these rooms, these places we shove stuff in. And I'm terrible about it. I am terrible about it. I pile stuff up and hide stuff and push stuff back in there, and it's ridiculous. Okay. So when the light comes in, it says here in the scripture, this is the message we've heard from him and declared to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What he's talking about is, if you say, oh yeah, I have fellowship with the Lord. I fellowship with the Lord every day. Everything's great. But it's not the light shined in your whole house. There's going to be some darkness in there. There's going to be some non-truths, some untruths in your house that you haven't dealt with. And if we say, oh yeah, I'm having fellowship with him, but we can all look at you and see that you're carrying this load, then the truth of the matter is you're having fellowship in the parlor with the Lord, but not in the house. When you throw open the barn door and say, I want the King of Glory to come in, he's going to come in. And the light's going to shine everywhere. The good news is why does he do that? Because he wants to make you feel bad, because he wants to, you know, no, he does it because he knows this is what's going to make you live in victory. This is what's going to cause you to have victorious living, godly living, good living, peace, grace, mercy flowing into your life. You got to get rid of some of the junk. That's why we have freedom prayer. That's what freedom prayer is all about. Freedom prayer is simply about getting together with somebody to help you pray to see that there's a box of junk over there that then the Lord speaks to you about because the King of Glory's come in and gets it out of there and helps you to be freer. It's not about, oh, you're crazy, you're addicted to this, we're going to see if we can get you delivered. No, no. It's about helping you to understand when the King of Glory steps in and shows you something that he'll take care of it. That's all it's about. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is what's good. Okay, if you can just imagine this. Every time the King of Glory comes into your life, you bring him in, the light shines, and you see a box of problem. All right? All you got to do is pick up the 3-gallon sprayer with the blood of Jesus in it, and just kind of pump it up a little bit and spray it down. That's all he's asking you to do. Is just spray it down with the blood of Jesus so he can deal with it. Now, how do we spray it down with the blood of Jesus? It's called repentance. We look over there and say, oh, Lord, I didn't realize I had that. I ask you to forgive me for that, Lord. I didn't know it was there. Forgive me for that. I just plead the blood of Jesus over, Lord, just cover it in your blood, forgive me, and it's gone, and then it's a whoop, it's all taken out. Vacuumed up, cleaned up, nice little clean spot. Now some glory can go there. Now you can replace it with a box of glory. I like glory. Y'all with me? I don't know about y'all, but I want to live. This may sound wrong, but I want to live the life that Jesus bought and paid for me. And I think it should be a good, easy life. I'm not really into suffering. You know, I'm not really into saying, Lord, make my life as hard as it can be. I'm into glory. I'm into victory. I'm into seeing grace and mercy abound in my life. I know I've got boxes of yuck that needs to be boxes of glory. And I sometimes don't find these things until I get under a stressful situation. Think of Peter. Okay, here's Peter who goes up to Jesus when Jesus is telling him he's about to go to the cross. And Peter says to Jesus, man, Lord, no matter what's going down tonight, I'm with you. If we got to go to death together, I'm going to fight. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to wait out. And Jesus looks and says, Peter, before even the rooster crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. And he's like, no, I'll never do that. Then Peter goes in the courtyard and the woman says, weren't you with him? No, I'm with him. Someone says, no, I thought I saw you down there. No, I wasn't with him. Finally, the third person says, and he just throws down and goes to cussing. Blankety blank, I'm telling you, blankety blank, ain't a blank, 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 blank. Rooster, he's like, oh, that's a box of yuck. And what did it say he did? He began to weep. He began to be remorseful. He began to see that he wasn't quite the person he thought he was. You know, Peter was, you know, Jesus said upon, you know, Peter, you're the rock, and I want to build my church upon you, and the gates of hell aren't even going to prevail. I mean, he gave Peter a good word. But Peter also got hammered a couple of times. The other time Peter went to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, everything's going to be great. What are you talking about? You're not going to go die. You're not going to do this. And Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. Wow. Jesus called Peter the devil. He said, get behind me, you devil. You don't even know the things of God. You're over here thinking like a man. You see what I'm saying? But that didn't stop Peter. Peter didn't give up and quit. See, that's what happened. The King of Glory came into Peter's life, and Peter had to see these areas of his life that he needed to deal with or let the Spirit of God deal with. He just needed to get it out of there. He just needed to see it, recognize it, repent over it, get the blood of Jesus on it so it could get gone. That's all Peter needed to do. That's all Jesus is asking you to do. Recognize it's there. Say, Lord, I want you to deliver me of that. I don't want the box of junk. He's not asking you to clean it up. He's not asking you to fix the mess. He's not asking you to get out the rubber gloves and the 409 and start cleaning everything up. No, he's just asking you to recognize it, see it's there. When the light comes in, see it's there and saying, ooh, Lord, I didn't know that was there. And I ask you to forgive me for it. Holy Spirit, get it out of here. He does it. He does the work. All he wants you to do is get rid of it. Because he is not going to violate your free will. He's not going to come into your house and do the house cleaning and say, this is the way your house should look. He's going to come into your house because you have invited him in, and he's going to shine the light, and then you have to look around the corner and say, uh-oh, I don't want that. Are y'all with me? It's good news. It really is good news, church, what I'm telling you this morning. It's not bad news. Because, see, it's no work on your part. It's just you recognizing it, having a heart that wants to get rid of it. Get rid of it, and then get a box of glory. I'll trade in old stuff for glory every day. Right? Okay, he goes on here and says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus is uncleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Folks, if you say you don't have any boxes in you, you're lying to yourself. I don't care who you are. They're there. But do you want to get rid of them? Okay? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all. All he's saying is, will you confess it? There's no work on your part. You just got to ask him to get rid of it. Hello? That's the good news. By the power of the Spirit of God, he does do it. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. All it does is the light exposes the objects in the room so that we'll know they're there. But then he wants you to do something with it. Hello? This is the fellowship that God calls us to. This is the relationship he wants from us. Why? Because he wants to bless you. He wants to give you. He wants to love you. He wants to pour out all of his goodness on you. He wants to give you all of these precious, precious things, but sometimes he can't because there's no room in your house. You got to get those boxes out of there. You got to clean, do some barn cleaning. Look at the person beside you and say, I guess I got to go home and do some barn cleaning. Now, go to Psalms 34, if you would. Psalms 34, verse 4. Now, this verse 4, you should print out, put on your icebox. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, I opened the door, asked the King of Glory to come in, and he heard me, so he did, and he delivered me from all my fears. All those boxes, he got them out of your barn. He got them out of your barn. They looked to him and were radiant. Yeah, the King of Glory came in, and you looked into him, and then you became radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want for those who fear him. Does this all sound like good stuff? You know, every time I read that scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, I think of a chocolate pie. A homemade chocolate pie, the big meringue on the top of it, and you smell it, and you say, oh, man, that is going to be good. and your mouth begins to salivate and you think about how good it is, right? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, but he's offering to come taste. Folks, listen to me. If you're afraid of Jesus, you've got some kind of religious twisted thinking. Because I want you to know today, he is the King of Glory. And he loves you. And he wants to come into your life, and all he wants to do is help you. He's not trying to correct you. He's not trying to change you. Listen, if God was going to change me, then why do I look like I look and act like I act and preach like I preach? This is who I am. God didn't come in and say, look, we have to change you, and you have to do it. No. See, sometimes we get these crazy religious ideas about what a Christian is supposed to be. A Christian is somebody who's allowed the King of Glory to come into their life and their house and is ever-changing, but we evolve to be who we are and who he created us to be. Not cookie-cutter little minions. Hello? We're all different. We're all different. In this room, we all have different likes and dislikes. Some of us in here like radishes and some don't. Some of you in here like beets and others of you don't. How many in here like beets? Well, God bless you. Some of us in here like a 270 and some a 30-06. But the bottom line is, church, God wants you to be who you are. He just wants to come be the King of Glory in the middle of your house. It's real easy. Jesus has never asked me to do anything that I didn't know that it was better to do it. I was going to say that I didn't want to do. He's asked me to do some things that I didn't want to do, but I knew the truth and that correcting some things in my life would be better. Y'all with me? Like always winning an argument. I've learned in life that's not productive. Just to come out of it and saying, okay, I won that argument. It can't be productive, especially if you're arguing with your wife. There's better ways to do things. Let the King of Glory come in and take care of everything. Y'all with me? There's some things that you have to change in life. I've changed some things. All right? It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want for those who fear him. That fear he's talking about is not like, It's fear of the reverence and honor of God being your life and respecting and who he is. That's what the fear he's talking about. It's not fear and trembling. It's the fear of, man, you're right, Jesus. You're always right. All right? The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Is all of this good? You see, I read the scripture like that and say, look, I don't want to lack and suffer. You know, I want to be delivered. I want to be with the King of Glory. I want him in my life. That's what's wrong with people in the world today. They're trying to get God out of everything when we need God in everything. Hello? We need God in every day of our life, every aspect of our life. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, he says something here that I want to just go over, and this is, I'm almost through. He said, who is a man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Is that y'all? Do you desire life, love many days? Man, you want to see good? Is that y'all? Am I preaching to the right crowd this morning? Okay, he tells us how to do it. He tells us how to walk in the fear of the Lord here in three steps. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. I guess that's four. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those that hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. The first thing he said there is keep your tongue from evil. Let me explain what he's saying there. Hebrews, you can just write these down because I'm going to go through pretty quick. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Quit saying out of your mouth doubt and unbelief. When the angel came to Mary and said she's going to have an immaculate conception child, and she said, well, how is this going to take place? That was still faith. When the angel appeared to Zechariah and said, you're going to bring forth a child, he's going to go before the Lord, and Zechariah's like, ain't no way. I'm old, my wife's old. And so the angel said, the only way I can get you to get through this thing is you're going to be mute. I'm going to shut your mouth. And he was struck dumb because the angel knew that if all that comes out of his mouth is doubt and unbelief, he's not ever going to walk in victory. And if what's coming out of your mouth is doubt and unbelief, you're never going to walk in victory. I'm telling you, you can get mad, you can throw a fit, you can spew stupid things out of your mouth, but when you get through, you better get hold of yourself, throw some water in your face, and turn around and say, Lord, forgive me for what I just said. I do believe in you. You're going to move and you're going to get this thing going. All right? The second thing is, he says, keep your lips from speaking deceit. King James says guile, which really means basically lying. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceit, plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Folks, speaking falsehood out of your mouth is saying God can't do it. You got to learn to speak truth out of your mouth. We don't see more miracles in our life because we're not speaking them out of our mouth. We're not believing God. We're not saying. We look at little Johnny and say, oh, little Johnny, he ain't never going to make it. Instead of saying, oh, God, you're an amazing God. And you can move. You can do a miracle. You can move in the middle of these waters. You're the God who parts the Red Sea. You're the God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. You're the God that makes a crooked path straight. Lord, little Johnny, I don't know what you're going to do to him. I got no answers, but you're going to take care of it. I'm believing you. Now you're speaking truth out of your mouth. You're not speaking foolishness and deceit and guile out of your mouth. Okay, now did you notice the first two things he says, if you really want to walk in victory, you got to do? Both have to do with the tongue. It's a tough one, I know it. You know, I've seen people before that have piercings in their tongue, and sometimes I've thought that that might be good for Christians. That maybe there needs to be a great big one, you know, about the size of a golf ball. You could just pull the tongue out, pierce that in there, and let it slip back in. And then maybe you'd keep yourself out of trouble. Because then you just really can't talk. You just got a golf ball size tongue stud. We'll be setting that up next week in the bookstore for all of those who need it. Golf ball tongue studs. But those first two have to do with your tongue, your mouth, what's coming out of your mouth. You got to ask yourself, what's coming out of your mouth? Just listen to yourself. I have gone off on rants before in my truck by myself and go off on some rant, and then all of a sudden I say, you sound so stupid. What are you saying out of your mouth? Shut up. Lord, I call all those words that I just spoke out of my mouth null and void. That's not what your word says. That's not what the gospel says. That's not the truth. And turn right around and have to get my tongue lined up and get going. It happens to all of us. But you got to watch this thing. This thing is dangerous. Okay, the third thing says, depart from evil and do good. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Listen, folks, we have got to come to the revelation that there is great things in you. And when you are walking in your daily lives and there's people around you who are saying things out of their mouths that is doesn't line up with truth, you have got to be the person who steps up in the middle of it and says, that's not what the Bible says. Or you've got to be the person when somebody's discouraged and down and out that you have a good word for them. I say to do evil means that you don't do anything. That you just step back and say, well, Lord, I'm not going to get into that with them. We have got to be the mouthpiece for Jesus on the face of this earth, but we got to speak truth. In all your situations and all your dealings and everything around, you've got to be able to stop and speak forth the truth. That's departing from evil, and that's doing good. The last thing he said here was seek peace and pursue it. Now listen, folks, I know some of you, some of you guys, you love to win. But listen to me, you need to change your sights, because what you really want in life is peace. To live in war all the time, to always having to be sharpening your sword every day, it gets tiring after a while. It's a hard way to live, always in war. All right? And peace is the best thing. To find peace and pursue it. I like peace. I like to be able to sit down on my porch and be able to take a breath and feel peace. War, I'll go to war when I need to go to war, but I want to pursue peace. So when you get around situations, you get around circumstances, sure, everything may not be lining up exactly like you want it to line up, but find a place of peace and pursue it, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and Jesus flows and walks in peace, and He wants to bring about peace in your life. Just to come out and win the battle, just to hold up the trophy and say, I was right, may be the worst decision you've ever made. Because you have slayed everyone around you, and now you're on your own little island holding your trophy. I did it my way. Ephesians 2:13, last scripture. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity that is the law and the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that He might reconcile them both to God, and in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus settled the issue. There's no war in heaven over you. Listen, there's no war. It's over. The wall's been torn down. God's wrath is not towards you. If you're in the kingdom of God, man, it's peace. And God wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to minister in your life. He wants to do good things for you, but you got to get some boxes out of the way. My suggestion to you today is a simple one, is that if while I've been preaching this, you've been touched or convicted about something, maybe the light of the King of Glory has shined a box in your life and you know it's there, but you don't really want to deal with it, I'd suggest come over here and talk to Lex and Jeannie after it's over with and set you up a freedom prayer appointment. And get the box out of there. I'd say, you know, we need to be box movers. Some of you need to go buy a dolly today. You need a spiritual dolly to help you Forklift. I was trying to be nice, Frankie. Here you are talking about getting a forklift. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? If you're here today, listen to me, and you need prayer, something spoken to your heart right now, you need to come up here and pray with one of these people today. You need to ask God to give you the direction and just get such some agreement and get some prayer going. If you do need to talk about freedom prayer, then talk to Lex or Frankie or some of these that are up here. They'll tell you there's some cards in the back and go to the website and find out all about it. Talk to Maggie right up here. She'll tell you what to do. But listen to me, church. I want to see you happy. I want to see you free. I want to see you victorious. I want to see you with a little skip in your step because the King of Glory is in your barn. And so I want to pray for you right now. All right? I want to pray for you that are here and all those that are listening and watching. I just want you to understand, the King of Glory wants to come in. All you got to do is invite him. And I'm going to pray for you right now. And if your heart is in this prayer, well, then lift your heart up to the Lord and grab hold of it. But Father, right now in Jesus' name, each and every one of us stand here today, Lord, and I declare barn doors are being thrown open. And the King of Glory is being invited in. I thank you, Lord, that when you walk into our barns and all the boxes that we see that we didn't know were there, I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom and a revelation that the Lord, that as we yield that to you, as we repent and confess that unto you, Lord, you deliver us. You take care of it. Lord, in areas of our lives where there's been no light shined, I just pray that, Lord, that you would shine the light in those areas, that we would be strong enough and bold enough to invite you into our lives so that our houses can be clean and we hold nothing back. Lord, I don't want any rooms shut off in my life. I don't want any locked doors. I don't want any keys that are thrown away. Lord, I want you to come in to my house, to my barn, to every room. I pray that over each and every person here. I pray all those that are listening and watching today cry out for you, Jesus. And then right there, wherever they are, in their home or listening to this message in their car or whatever's going on, Lord, right now as you cry out, Jesus will be there and he'll touch you. He'll bless you. He'll heal you and he'll help you. So, Lord, I thank you today for blessing this congregation, putting your hand upon each and every one of them. Lord, and just giving us those places of victory with you. And, Lord, I ask you as we go out into this world, let us run across people who need to know you, Jesus, and have the wisdom and the words to tell them. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here for you. If you need prayer, come on down.